Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, crossover time. Let's welcome in Grandy and Dibs.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, guys?
Who we got here, Dibs?
I believe this is Tiana Taylor with "And I Am Gonna Love You More." It's a fairly current, probably 7 years old R&B song. It had me thinking about you, Steiny.
Oh. Well, shout out to Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, thank you.
What's it called?
It's "Love You More." Okay. And she's an R&B singer. Mm-hmm. And you and Evan were doing the thing. Two things about this. One, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
But you were talking about your obituary.
Yes.
And I'm driving in, and I was thinking, I don't know if there's going to be a lobby for who gets to write it, but I would like to have a crack at it.
Oh.
I feel like I know you pretty well. You and I go back. How old's Paige? She's 19?
Which one's she? The third one?
She was the young one who famously told you, "No, Daddy." Yeah,
she's 19.
When we were just walking through the room, she was watching cartoons. Right. He and I are at his old house, and we just walked through the room, not in front of her, but just in the room, and she turned and looked at him and said, "No, Daddy." And I looked at him, and he's like, shrug.
Yeah.
Like, he literally was doing nothing other than walking through his own house. So I've known you since she was one.
Yeah.
So I do feel uniquely qualified to write the obit, but today you were talking about the six things that you are like really, really good at. And Evan actually threw out music and then he qualified it, which I'm glad you did because
music's pretty broad.
Well, yes, his musical like elite knowledge is mostly niche and, you know, 60s and 70s and different genre. So
Dylan's pretty popular. I mean, I think
very popular.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call it niche, but
I mean, he's greatest songwriter of all time, and it's kind of not even close.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not throwing anything.
That's fair, but if we were to get into things such as I don't know, the '90s, the '00s, the '10s, the '20s, it's a little bit of a blind spot for you, other than the occasional like. It's going down.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
gathering timber.
I like Pitbull.
Right.
He's pretty new, right?
Yes.
Pitbull.
I mean, of the...
Fireball?
Of the last 40 years...
Great.
Like, if you... And this is where you become so unique, is I would say 0.1% of the songs and the artists you will know about, but... And it comes at me from a wild sort of random spot. But yes, if you're looking for somebody to write your obit, I would like to throw my hat officially in the ring, assuming you actually die before me.
The only reason you know Pitbull is because one of his songs was the theme song for the NBA playoffs a few years ago. That's probably how you were introduced.
When they're in Miami, probably.
I just love the song Fireball.
I think the last song that he put me onto, which is kind of an indication of how niche some of his musical tastes are, is I think Bedouin Soundclash was the last band that I was like, "Hey, you know, you got anything?" We're talking at the cafeteria, and I like reggae music. He goes, "Oh, you ever heard of this band called Bedouin Soundclash?" And they're not bad, but it by no means would be a mainstream or popular sort of tune.
Right.
Not at all.
Well, and all of us, you know, put each other on, so to speak, different artists. And actually, you were the one who hipped me to K Trinada because you went to the concert, one of your various festivals you go to when
it's
you're a younger
to
person.
Next month.
Yeah. Which one is that?
K Trinada and Justice, I think are performing at the old Oracle.
Right. So Oklahoma we talked
Arena.
About where you went.
Lucas is on it.
And you were like, "I'm K Trinada." I mean, we had a great time during K Trinada. I was like, "What?" And so I did the Spotify search and it's like, "Oh, I've heard that song." And then four or five more deep down, it's like, "Yeah, Evan. Thank you, Evan.
Ain't no party like a K Trinada party."
Yep. Like I'm at the point now where I don't like to go to concerts. But like Lady Gaga was here this week. Like I would have seen.
I think she's performing tonight. It's like four nights in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much are the tickets?
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Like 75?
Like two.
Two? One, two, two.
Hundy?
I would say probably north of 350. I don't know for sure, but she is probably the closest thing musically to...
Barbra Streisand?
I was going to say Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
She's at that level of musicianship.
Amy Winehouse-ish?
Amy was a little bit, I think, and I love Amy Winehouse. I just recently put her in my top 30. Oh. You know, our good friend Dave Lawrence had that, your top 30 groups of all time.
Oh, and I got to do that.
I think Amy was like 16 or 17 for me, but a little bit like Terrell Davis, second straight reference of TD, where Amy Winehouse had about, you know, the equivalent of 4 good years. And yeah, unfortunately...
So she's like Sandy Koufax.
Gone. No, Sandy had a much longer run than Amy.
Oh, Lady Gaga, sure. Tuesday, today, and Saturday, by the way. Three shows at Chase.
Wait, that means she's going to be around the city tomorrow. She's it's an off day for Gaga tomorrow.
Yeah, bring her get her to the ship. speaking of Sinatra, though, so have you... when me and Granny live together, there's a group of people on our corner every day that sit with a jukebox or some big music player and just listen to Frank Sinatra all day long. It's actually pretty soothing. So I'll get home at, I don't know, umpteen hours, and these guys and gals will just be sitting around. Sometimes they're playing hacky sack. Sometimes they're sipping on a little something.
Yep.
And they just listen to Sinatra. And so I honestly kind of have Sinatra in my rotation right now because these guys on our corner, that's all they do.
Summer Wind?
Not in my rotation
to
right
me,
now.
To me, that's... But. Oh, God, I love that song.
I mean, there are so
in
many.
In the summer wind.
So, guys know I have a toddler, and one of the things that you do with your toddler is you try to do, like, a little bit of a call and response, and we actually just developed a handshake, she and I, and so, you know, I'll say, come over, let's do the shake, and it's a couple of high fives, and then that's kind of our handshake, and it's hilarious, and she loves it, but when she was much younger, I'm 2, I would say, I've got you, and she would say, under my kin, because she can't say S's. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean,
classic.
Occasionally we will throw that on, and she's like, you know, play I Got You Under My Kin. And it's like, we'll put that on. And halfway through, she's like, I want Miss Rachel. It's like, okay.
Got to start him young.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And it reminds me of my dad, Dwayne Dibley, rest in peace, who was a big, old school, born in 1935 Sinatra guy. So the fact that I'm playing Sinatra for her, and it's now whatever 90, he would be 90 if he was still here. And you know, it just kind of makes me feel warm and comforted by the fact that my father never got to meet his unexpected granddaughter. So it's a little bit of like building that bridge, you know.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
You were saying too, though, like your father's the reason why you're into horse racing.
Yep.
And obviously Hulk Hogan passed away today, and Steiny is really into wrestling. So I'm curious if it was because of a parent or a friend, or like I kind of missed the wrestling boat when I was younger. I don't know. My dad and my brother weren't really into wrestling.
No, my dad thought it was a joke.
Knowing your dad, I could see that.
Oh, God, he was like, you watching that crap? You watching that crap for? But no, the wrestling would be probably my older brother, who was 7 or 8 years older than me. You know, we had, there were, the wrestlers had unbelievable personality. I still probably was in the middle of not knowing if it was fake or not. You know, he would talk about George the Animal Steel, eating the turnbuckle, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then...
eating?
Huh?
Yeah, eating.
He used to eat the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's why he was George the Animal Steel.
Right.
He was
right.
A bit of a wild card.
He was like, he was bald, and he was great character.
Not
but anyway,
super athletic, but you didn't want to
no.
catch him.
He was dirty.
Yes. And like he would go out there and do whatever he had to get the W.
Yes, he was not afraid of the foreign object.
No.
At all. He always had a foreign object in his tights. So it was my brother. We used to have a lot of fun with it. And then back in my day, they used to have territories. It wasn't all under the WWE or WWF. Yeah. So there was like the Northeast, the South, and those wrestlers would wrestle among, let's say, 6 to 8 states. So we had a venue near Reading, the Hamburg Fieldhouse.
Oh.
And we'd go up there once in a while to see, I can remember exactly. We saw Blackjack Mulligan and Blackjack Lanza.
The Battle of Blackjacks?
They were tag team partners.
Okay.
I saw Chief J. Strongbow. I saw Ivan Putski. And it's just a lot of fun.
Iron Putski?
Ivan.
Oh,
the
Ivan.
Polish Hammer.
Of course.
The original Polish Hammer.
Well, and I mean, Chief J. Strongbow.
Chief J. Strongbow.
You can't call yourself Chief J. Strongbow anymore.
You also can't go on the war path, which he used to. But then again, then that's what it...
Oh, not if you don't want trouble.
Look at, I mean, God, they pitted Sergeant Slaughter against the Iron Sheik. I mean, Sergeant Slaughter was a U.S. like Marine character, and the Iron Sheik was from Iran.
He came in and changed the game.
That one was trouble.
I mean, I say this anymore about the Chief, yet we still have college and pro teams where we can elongate our hand with an open hand, and we can chant along with a drum. Exactly. So, I mean, yes, you can still do all those things, but just hearing you guys, and we had a little bit of a show thread earlier about Hulk, and you know, Grandy, not a wrestling fan, I'm not a wrestling fan, Lucas the same, and I just was wondering about like our own life and what got you into what you're into. And I was fascinated by you in wrestling because, yeah, you're a basketball guy, and you know, you're elite in 70s baseball, Stratomatic, and so many other things, but you were a big fan of wrestling.
Huge.
Yeah, and so it just made me think about our influences, right?
Yeah, Dan, it was a simpler time.
Dan.
Back then.
It was.
We'll never be able to go back to that period of time.
My father was not a fan, neither were my brothers, and so in my household, you didn't watch it. And this is in the 70s when, you know, some of the characters you're rolling out, and then in the 80s, Hulk Hogan burst on the scene, and, you know, James Kincaid earlier calling him the Babe Ruth of wrestling, and that hit me, and James Kincaid knows more about it than any of us would ever forget, and it just made me think about those athletes in other sports. Who are they?
Right.
And, you know, are they still among us? And I do believe that we have one about a mile and a half down the road.
Steph?
Steph Curry. Steph Curry. And he's not, you know, what Hulk did for wrestling, Steph Curry maybe did for the three-point shot, but when you look at that organization, and you were there when Joe Lacob was able to out-duel Larry Ellison and buy the thing for, what, $360?
$450.
$450. So he buys it for $450.
Million. Yeah.
Right. And now it's worth maybe $12 billion. And I'm not saying it's all because of Steph. It's not. It's because of Joe, Steve, Draymond, Clay, KD.
The arena.
Leandro, Patrick McCaw, whatever.
Leandro.
Thank you. I was trying
Jonathan
to get to
Kuminga.
Ian. I couldn't get to Ian Clark in time. All roads lead to Kuminga. But thinking about what Steph did for that franchise and what Hulk did for the WWE, I do think that there's a parallel.
Well, my mind immediately went to Bird and Magic because that kind of revitalized the NBA. And then, of course, you have Jordan after that, and then you just got this long slew of stars. But it kind of was Bird and Magic that created NBA in the mainstream again, and that's kind of what Hulk did with wrestling, although I'm not an expert in how he impacted that whole sphere. But it feels like the similarity for me in the NBA sphere is the Bird and Magic rivalry that kind of got everybody back involved in the NBA again.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco.
So when he said Babe Ruth, like, obviously that's a huge figure, but I think for a lot of people, like, baseball started with Babe Ruth. That's like, that's the modern game. Like, Babe Ruth is where most people's knowledge of baseball starts. And so I was trying to think about, because he was describing WrestleMania as being like the Super Bowl, and that really didn't happen until Hulk Hogan brought it to the WWF. And so what's the equivalent for basketball? I don't know, like, would it be someone like Chamberlain or Russell, like those two?
I think Chamberlain,
George Mikan.
Chamberlain would be a good call.
I mean,
because he was kind of like Hulk. He was just, his sheer size was what
a
set him apart,
right?
Yeah.
And then for the NFL, I don't know if you like, I mean, I'm trying to think about
Dick Butkus,
something
like that.
Gail Sayers, I don't know.
Bart Starr,
Otis Thorpe.
Honestly,
no. Who's my guy? No, I keep on saying his name wrong.
Otis Systrom.
No. Jim Thorpe. Sorry.
Jim Thorpe,
or Jim Brown. Yeah. For me, if you want to trace it all the way back, and we had this conversation earlier, and the NFL doesn't really have a fair comp because the NFL is just the damn NFL. But if you want to go back to the moment And I'll share my deep dive a little bit later.
Oh.
Because I was looking at one seeds in baseball, basketball, and football. Like, how important is it to be a one seed to go out there and win the chip? And I went all the way back through every Super Bowl, and you go back to 1968, the 1969 Super Bowl, Joe Willie Namath, and, you know, the AFL, because Green Bay won the first two, mm-hmm. and then the Jets came out, and Joe with the guarantee, and then they win the darn thing, and then I believe the next 2 years, the AFL also won the Super Bowl, and so the fact that Namath did that in that moment on that stage, that for me is probably the closest you could get to Hulk Hogan.
And of course, you know who the coach of the Baltimore Colts was back then.
Was that Shula?
Don Shula.
Yeah, Don Shula.
Great call.
Yeah.
Great call. The other thing I was going to say about, was it about wrestling?
No, it was about Larry and Magic.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you remember, because we were kids, where the NBA finals were like, you watch
delayed.
And you watch it on CBS. It's like, oh, it's an hour recap of a game. It was like an abbreviated game. And then Larry and Magic in college, they played for the Natty, and Magic and Greg Kelso.
Kelser. Which,
I apologize. I'll have to confirm that. I think I'm right and you're wrong. But
Greg Kelser, Jay Vincent.
Yep.
They had a guy named Terry Donnelly.
It's the 70s, and so I'm in over my head a little bit.
Well, Kelso's on that 70s show, so that might have.
Might have been. And, you know, Travis Kelso and, you know, thank you. It's a one on purpose. No, but
it is indeed. Greg Kelso can confirm.
Thank you.
Hate to see it.
Played for the Pistons. Yeah,
nickname Special K.
Mm-hmm.
Hate when he's right.
Like the cereal.
So, well, the thing with Bird and Magic was, Dib's right. They played in the national championship game.
The Natty.
They had everything going for them. One was black, one was white. They played against each other in the national championship, and then they go to the two most storied franchises in the league. Incredible. Like, what Curry did, though, was he took a franchise that was basically on the periphery of the NBA. Like, if I could tell you how many times I was in another city covering the Warriors, and a cab driver would say, what are you in town for? I'm going to go see the Golden State Warriors Knicks. Golden State? Who's it? Where's Golden State? It's the Bay Area, California. Like, what Steph did for the Warriors is, like, infinitely kind of more impressive than what Bird did to for the Celtics and Magic did for the Lakers.
Like, it'd be like Bird, Jordan.
He like, I don't want to minimize
Chicago's
Chris Mullin.
Chicago's a bigger city, but
I don't want to minimize Chris Mullin and Rick Barry and the greats before him, but Curry elevated this franchise in incomprehensible ways.
And he changed the actual sport, which yes. I do think, and Magic did the same. And, you know, Larry Bird was just an amazing player in Boston, and the rivalry. And this is what makes me think more about Hulk Hogan. And the reality of Hulk is that he had, you know, rivals. He had Macho Man Savage, and, you know, James Kincaid was laying it out. And as I'm listening to that interview you guys did, it made me think about sports, man. And Guru, like, part of the reason why Steph and his run have been so great is it's been Steph and LeBron. And, you know, LeBron has had to go through Steph and LeBron. And, you know, LeBron got him when Draymond got suspended. And then Steph came back and got him with KD. And so the idea of personalities and whether or not wrestling is, you know, concocted and fake and whatever, it is. But the athleticism is real. And it's all about the characters and the rivals. And even last year, and I'm going to say this before Willard gets back, because it was Dodgers-Yankees, it was Shohei against Judge, and it was New York and L.A., and it's like, that was awesome, even though L.A. won and none of us wanted them to do that. But it's about characters and rivals and storylines in all of sports, right?
Yeah. I
mean, it's the same
fair.
Thing for the rematch with Philly and KC, right? They'd already met in the Super Bowl. You know, it's, I think the Chiefs were the team that everybody was wondering whether or not they were invincible. No, in this market, you didn't want either team to win. It was right. Like, can the Eagles knock this seemingly unstoppable team off its mantle? Can they prevent the dynasty from getting another one? Because everyone just felt like the Chiefs are this inevitable death star in the NFL. And now we get to see next year if there's another chapter. I think that's probably why a lot of people like wrestling, and a lot of my friends did, is because you get to know the characters, you develop your love for the heels or the face, the heroes or the villains. And I kind of think that's what the NBA is missing right now, is there's no roles for all these teams. Like, don't get me wrong, like OKC's a great team. Boston last year was a great team. Denver the year before. Like, these are all good teams, but there's not really a side to pick. Everybody's just kind of, rubbernecking the NBA right now.
Well, that's what, like, interest is in general about anything. You want to have a side to pick, and what you're laying out is exactly the same thing I was thinking. It's why, and I'm not a huge wrestling guy, but I understand why people like it, because those storylines are so easy to grasp, and it's so easy to say, I'm on side A, I'm on side B. Screw your guy, my guy's going to take him down. It's easy to have that kind of conversation or that feeling about wrestling, because, and if you want to say it's fake or scripted or whatever it is, like, that's they do it for that reason, so that you can have that intrigue and those two sides fighting. And to Evan's point, the NBA post Steph LeBron in the finals every year hasn't really had that.
Yep.
And it's like a new face every single year, which for the NBA and Adam Silver would say it's good, but for the average fan who's trying to be invested, is it good? I don't know.
It's not. And the word you used is actually the perfect word, which is easy. If you're a wrestling fan and you've got one of the various WrestleManias that's coming up and you know who's going to be there, it's like you either like the one guy or you don't like the other guy. And this year in the NBA Finals, Tyrese Halliburton against SGA, and we're all so deep into it, and we love all these guys, we know all these guys, and we're completely yocked in, as my daughter would say. Her L's are Y's, and so we're working through that. But for the casual NBA person or a sports fan, Halliburton against SGA, what is that? Like, yeah. Who is that? Halliburton sounds like a Texas oil company from the 90s, and SGA sounds like it might be an affliction. So it's not the same as like Steph against LeBron, right? Or, you know, Magic against Bird, or Jordan against his legacy, or whatever. So,
and the boss always likes a reset. So for this, from the 650 and the Boxer and Gershon's work attorney.
Hang in there. You
know, I do it great when you're not here. The Boxer and Gershon Work Injury Attorneys text line.
Evan did it earlier, and he did it, I could tell with his eyes closed, he nailed it. Anyhow.
They want to know, why are y'all talking about wrestling? Did someone lose a bet?
Not exactly.
No, Hulk Hogan passed today. 71 years old, wrestling icon. He bridged sports and entertainment.
It's funny you say that, because I was telling these guys earlier on the thread, I was like, yeah, you know, he actually crossed over from wrestling into the movies, Rocky III. And I looked up Rocky III 42 years ago, or 43 years ago, Steiny.
Jeez.
That one hit me. Because these guys are late 20s, early 30s, and so I was thinking that it wasn't quite that old.
What was original Rocky, 75? 76?
I think 75.
Yeah, because I think it had like a bicentennial theme in it.
Yep.
76.
76. Yep.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean,
what are we doing?
Rocky 1.
50 years.
I'm just saying almost. Rocky 1 was the, like, none of the other ones can touch it.
Yeah, I agree that everyone says Rocky 4 is the best one.
Chance.
And it has the best montage, and I think it's got the, again, like the biggest, I don't know, maybe villain, Dolph Lundgren.
Is that Drago?
Drago's is, but like, come on, the original is the original.
The soundtrack of the original Rocky was unbelievable, and I'm sure it won tons of awards. I want to say Stan Conti.
Look at you.
Stan Conti.
Anything
gonna
70s.
Fly now. You never know, right?
No, yeah. You're nailing it. I wanted to lay out in case of possible recording and repurposing.
There also was another song where there was
how we get by copyright.
Take you back. Do, 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 do. Take you back like before. You never heard that? Bill Conti.
Maybe.
It's 50 years ago.
Women weaken legs.
Remember? And he drank the raw eggs.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Four.
And I would argue that Rocky III with Mr. T was the better villain than Drago, I Must Break You. Because Mr. T came for Adrian out there when they had the pre-fight conference.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, lady. Why don't you come with a real man?
That's right.
Rock
That's
didn't right. like that. Rock didn't like it all. And Rock was already a little soft. And, you know, Mr. T got him, spoiler alert, whatever, 50 years ago. Got him the first time, but Rock came back in the second.
You're setting up for Rambo.
The original protagonist, Carl Weathers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he eventually would train Rocky in
Correct.
That. And just the Rocky III moment of Hulk Hogan, they do an exhibition wrestling match. And Rocky comes out and he's like, hey, you know, it's going to be fun. We're gonna just, you know. And Hulk comes out and he's taking it like it's real. And so he's like throwing Rocky around. And Rocky has to get all mad and come back at the Hulk. And finally, Rocky beats the Hulk. And the Hulk is like, great show, man. That was awesome. And Rocky's like, that was a show? And Hulk Hogan's basically like, yeah, I mean, pretty that's what he did. Yeah. Anyway.
It's just what I do.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, rest in peace. So. I don't know. We'll get into a little bit of that, but also Niners camp. And, you know, I do think that there are a couple big time members of the coaching staff who are under more pressure than you might think based on what this team is going to do. So we'll get into that as well.
And we got Tim Kawakami at 3:15.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
I was talking about Tim the other day about the guy gets the guys. The guy gets the big guys.
Great conversation with Shanahan.
Yeah, looking forward to that, gentlemen. Have a good rest of the day and bring it home on 95.7 The Game. He always had a foreign object in his tights. I do it great when you're not here.